Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com/hamnation to save 20% off any order. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 334 for January 17th, 2018. Quartz Fest Preview.
Hello, everybody. It's K9EID, Bob Heil, and I'm back in Pleasant Hope, where it's cold. But that's okay. We have a warm furnace and a warm fireplace. Sarah and I just arrived a little bit ago. Everybody's good, and we're here for Ham Nation, and we've got a really great show tonight. And I want you all to tune in, pay attention, because somebody might learn something, and it could be me. But talk about teach people. Look at this. It's Gordon West. Gordon, how are you doing? Are you warm in Costa Mesa?
We are warm, and we're getting ready for the cold weather in Quartzsite, Arizona. And joining me tonight is Mr. Jim Ford in 6JF. Hi, Jim. Welcome aboard. He's got a radio that is wow, and we're going to play with it at Quartzsite. Back to you, Bob.
All right. That's great. Well, I'm sorry I can't join you, but I got some things going on here. Every year, I'm somewhere where I can't make it there, but that's okay. George, are you headed anywhere warm, or are you warm now? It's good old smoking cider, George.
Well, I have managed to stay indoors. I haven't had to go out the last few days because it's really been cold down here. We've had some snow again, which is a little unusual for here. I've been calling on the remote controls, checking the reflected power on all my transmitter sites. So far, been okay there. If it had been an ice storm, it would have been a different matter altogether. But snow, the antennas can kind of tolerate that. So that's a good thing. I'm going to be back a little later. We're going to talk about, a little bit about coax and maybe a couple of things you didn't know.
Okay. Well, we'll have our pencils ready to go, taking notes. You have to take notes. And speaking of notes, here's the guy who takes lots of notes and reads lots of notes. It's our pronunciator from New Orleans. How are you doing down there? I bet you're really cold, aren't you, Don? It's not usual to be cold there.
It's not. Yeah, it was 13 degrees this morning. It's 30 right now. 34, I think, was our high today, and our pipes are wrapped really, really well, except for like half of this ball valve, and you probably can't see this. You probably can't see this on camera, but there is a crack from one end to the other. You can see a chip taken out of that end right there, a crack from one end to the other, which made a lovely fountain on my patio this afternoon. So I went out and fixed this tonight, earlier tonight, and we now have water again, so it's all good. We're high and dry. Hey, no WTWW tonight because they've been having transmitter problems. Anyway, you can still catch them on 5085. And they're big supporters of Amateur Radio Newsline. So anytime WTWW shortwave is on, be sure and give those guys a listen because they are they're just the best. And, of course, you hear Ham Nation, the simulcast on WTWW2. Lots of good stuff. Got a solar update from Dr. Tamitha Scove coming up a little bit later on tonight. Bob, back to you.
And on Saturday afternoon and Saturday night, I play the theater organ. I really enjoy doing the programs there at 8 o'clock on Saturday. So I'm excited to see what's going on here with Jim and Gordo. You put those two together, who knows what's going to happen. So let's see, Gordo, take it away.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Yeah, Jim lives across the street active ham, and he loves experimenting with QRP. So, Jim, how about telling him what Ben Rubin, KB5 Zulu Oscar, he's a product division engineer for MFJ. He and Martin spotted something, and I think you'll be interested. So we'll do a quick look at what we're going to play with at Quartz Fest. So, Jim, take it away, and what have you got, Jim?
Well, there's a new entry from Zygu. That's X-E-I-G-U, which soon to be MFJ. And here it is, right here. And it is a 160 through 6 meter QRP rig from half a watt, adjustable from a half a watt down to 5 watts with a great display. It is really nice. A good heat sink for a 5 watt rig. And it's got a lot of nice features.
I mean, Jim, it's got a built-in battery?
Got a built-in battery or external. And it tells you the volts on it. That's one thing nice about the display on it. It tells you so many things on it. And it's for a QRP rig, it's really great in that regard. It's got a nice menu. Got a built-in tuner.
Wow.
Fast. It's got an SWR sweep, so it'll sweep the whole band. Tell you what your SWR across, not just 40, but anything. And it's got a band sweep, which is really kind of like a spectrum analyzer. Yeah, it does show you people up and down the band, but no calibration. It's got lots of interfaces for data. So, I mean, that's a coming thing even for QRP. And the speaker, it's small. What do you expect for a rig like that? However, they don't try to blast it with so much bass that it distorts it. So it sounds good. A very, very, very nice rotary knob right here. It's a nice tuning knob, which I think is one of the better features, as well as you can tilt it up right here. And it's ergonomic. It's very nice. And it's neat, high, nice heat sink. There's nice heat sinks, a lot of good features. On the other hand, it does FM, but no tones. So, you know, that maybe they'll work on it. I think they're coming up with new firmware. They said that the drain, received drain, was 600 mils, but I measured 480.
Wow. Well, that's great, Jim. And you're going to have that out at Quartz Fest, and we'll be on the air with it?
We'll certainly do that.
Very good. So, Jim, thank you for the preview, and thanks for going over this brand new rig. And MFJ is very excited about getting it all scrubbed up before they release it. And any last words, Jim?
No, it looks like it could be a really nice rig.
Great. Well, thanks so much. That's Jim Ford in 6JF, the voice of the many voices of Quartz Fest. Well, thank you, Jim. And Victor, if we could go ahead and bring up that first short shot, and let's take a look at Quartzsite, Arizona, and all of the things that might go right, and some of the things after 20 years we discovered that could go wrong. Well, Quartz Fest begins this coming Saturday for the setup. Sunday, the official rolling of Quartz Fest. And it's an RV get-together in town of Quartzsite, Arizona. But down where we are, we kick things off with burning of Ham Man. But we learned that no one wanted to burn the really good-looking one that was made up by one of our volunteers. So what we did was we worked up a Ham Man substitute. We doused it with gasoline. And the way we start Quartz Fest is with a big bang and a lot of fire. So Quartz Fest is not just a ham radio get-together, but it's an experience. The Welcome Center, first to get everybody squared away as to what the programs are. And Tracy, 112 individual programs that will be offered at Quartz Fest. And that's some of the Quartz Fest welcoming 10. team, and off to they are to greet those coming in, and they get registered, and you can find and stop anywhere you wanted with your vehicle. That's Tracy and Jody on the left and left, and Tracy's very, very happy because there's going to be no rain forecast this year. Jody's happy because Tracy's happy, and Tracy's the one that lined up all those 100-plus seminars. And yes, we'll have this radio there, promises Jim. That's Dave. Dave, for several years, ran Quartz Fest. He's going to be there again running things, not as the head-to-head runner. That's going to be Chris. But Dave, thanks for all your hard work. And you'll notice those real bright colored vests. That lets those visitors find out who's who and who to get help from if they need it. You park anywhere. And as you can see, it's hard-packed sand. For those of you that are not bringing a big RV, your tent is fine. We have an area just for tents, and of course, bring your radios and get it all set up. Yes, we have porta potties. That's something we learned over years past, and that was to take care of our dedicated one-dayers and those with a tent. So, tenters, we got it. Now, a lot of HF going on. That's Neil, W6FOG, set up. And look at those guy lines. He did a great job because sometimes we get some pretty strong winds. Last year, well, you'll see what happened last year. The wind really blew things around. Some mighty big antennas on mobiles. And the neat thing about it is that your receiver will be overwhelmed. So we encourage all of you to go to DX Engineering and pick up some band pass filters to be able to narrow down exactly what your radio is going to hear when all these other mobile stations are on the air with your RVs. Solar panels, that's a small one to get started with bio-NO power. Now they got big mama starting type batteries. We'll have one of those out there getting things going. Wind power, you bet. Every afternoon, the wind picks up. PAs, that was a big request from years past. We tried a new PA system thanks to some donations of PA gear, and now everybody can hear us loud and clear. Generators, yeah, that's always a problem, yet they're absolutely necessary to keep some of the big AC going. We just have to keep them downwind and not making noise, and these have run very well. And Gary runs gasoline in them to keep them humming the entire time. We have plenty of the pop-up tents because some of the presentations, as we learned in years past, are not very good in the sunshine. A little canopy there for that, but JT8 and some of the other modes will be playing at our Quartz Fest special event station, W7Q. And there's Ward. He's getting things lined up. He's using the Heil Pro headset, and that works just great with the ICOM. And there's so little noise at Quartz Fest late at night that we tuned in to the new ham band down on 400 kilohertz, not megahertz, kilohertz, the top one you see there, and signals were coming through just fine. We encourage those that are going to be bringing their radios have Anderson connectors and make sure that when you put them together and they're seated properly that they go click, because if they don't, you won't be making a good connection. Neil, W6FOG, who's been there for gosh, he's been doing Quartz Fest for 15 years, I bet. He is talking to the folks about drone safety. And you'll see the special event station and the antenna to the left. That's Neil in the blue to the right. And he is an expert on drone safety. Not just a drone flyer, but he really goes over the regulations and tells you exactly what you can and cannot do. And then he provides the liftoff that you see on the left. So drones are great, and we're going to have a lot of kids, and the kids are going to be there. We have Tai Chi, and Heather's doing the Tai Chi every morning at, I think it's like 0800. That gets the blood circulating. We have long walks. There's Marilyn. She's going to be taking folks up to gold panning, and if ever you wanted to find gold in the desert, they're going to find it. The ladies have their own daily activities and daily ladies circles. And that's Chris in the purple that is running Quartz Fest this year. And she's been running it for the past several years, a couple years ago. And the ladies do everything from beading to quilting. And I mean, there's some great talent when it comes to all the things that these ladies can make. That's Don, N9ZGE. He's going to be talking all about the internet and linking ham radio into it via WinLink and WinMore. In the past, he's talked about antenna tuners. And we don't just talk, we show them, as you see here, in action. And he'll be there every day, Monday through Friday, with a special WinMore WinLink station, taking on small groups at the special event station, talking all about how to get onto the internet via ham radio HF. And of course, yes, we have the pet parade. They're getting all dolled up. And Randy, he's coming all the way down from his new house. He and team will be taking tons of pictures. Randy is almost on scene already in Arizona. And you bet he'll have some great shots. Oh, look at that, Randy. Great shot of one of the award winners for the Pooch Parade. So Cords Fest is fun. Not just radio, but cast iron cookie. Susie's going to enjoy cast iron cooking and all of the amenities that go with it. And you'll have great instructions. One thing we learned is if everybody at the last minute comes up with their computer to meet up with a projector, it doesn't work. So we encourage all of you that are presenting, make sure that your computer ahead of time is going to be compatible, because as you see here, that's a big delay, and it's cold and it's dark trying to get the computer to talk to the projector. Of course, we have movies, and we'll have movies on the side of someone's RV and campfire to keep those watching warm. So it's a fun event at Quartz Fest. And at night, it gets dark. We told everybody no bright lights after 9 o'clock because we want to see the stars. But AC, we let him leave up his palm tree because sometimes at night, you get lost in where the heck you are. So you always know to look for the lit-up palm tree. Thanks, AC, to find your way back home or to your thing. Testing, yes, we have two or three different examination sessions. And you don't need to sign up ahead of time, but let them know a couple days in advance that you're going to be there. And they even got a link up through the internet so you can get an FCC update or call sign. Sometimes within hours, off-road. Well, we learned the hard way. We had some really off-road off-roaders, and it scored up some of the side of vehicles. So now we have three different ones. We have one that's tough. We have one that's scenic. And then we have one that's going to describe the joys of off-roading. So if you got a 4x4 or a high-level 2x2, bring it to Quartz Fest this coming weekend and all next week. There's Gary, and Gary's showing off 10 gigahertz, because remember, this Saturday and Sunday is the VHF-UHF contest, and there will be someone locally there on 10 gigs. There's Don, W6GPS. He's going to be talking all about the Kenwood, the new, brand new Kenwood that does D-Star and scrambled eggs and you name it, Kenwood D74. What a radio. Don will give you even uploading of the latest software to make that radio really humming. And there's Chris on the left. Chris is the one that's running it this year. And league officials, they'll be talking, and that's Dick Norton. And Dick, as you know, has been talking about what's going on at the league. And it's, well, you know, it's sort of secret, but it is, but it isn't. We're going to talk all about league matters, and we've got league officials coming in from all over, and we value their comments, and we're especially wanting to hear what happened in Newington this coming week. And, of course, toward the end of Quartz Fest is the swap meet. Some folks put it on the ground. Others have their own tables. This is at the end of the swap meet, but it's a fun swap meet on Saturday morning. That's a week from this Saturday. So Quartz Fest, we'll give you a full-blow description of what went right and what absolutely didn't fly. But, you know, after 20 years, you pretty much get it right, and I think this year is going to be one of the best. So, Victor, if you'll come back to Gordo here, and Jim, thank you very much for showing off this great radio that we're going to bring to Quartz Fest. And let's go over to Don and see how Frozen Don is doing. Don, over to you.
Oh, it's nice and warm in the shack, because we may not have Tai Chi like Quartz Fest do, but we have Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler.
Really?
Yeah. What do you mean, really, really?
That was a joke.
Huh?
That was a terrible joke.
No, it wasn't a joke. He was talking about Tai Chi. This was before you had your earbud in.
No, I mean, never mind.
And something else that's going on this weekend is the Hammond Ham Fest in Hammond, Louisiana. And it's also his birthday.
Yes.
It's Tyler's birthday. Tyler's 18th birthday. Can you believe that? Wow. Now, the reason Tyler's here is because we want to talk about something that is a new sponsor to Ham Nation. And it's a neat little thing called Tracker. Hold it up, son. That is the Tracker. Can you see here? Yeah, hold it. There you go. There you go. That's the little red thing there. That is the Tracker. You're always looking for something you love. You know, you're looking for love. You're looking for purpose, unforgettable experiences. For most of the time, it's your keys. And that is my Tracker, and it's on my keys. Tracker has changed everything. They started about 8 years ago, and then they released their first tracking device. Now they've done it again with this one. This is the all-new Tracker Pixel. With the Pixel, you never have to worry about losing your things again. You can attach it to your keys. You can attach it to anything else with a little sticky pad. The Tracker Pixel is the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market. You can put it wherever you tend, whatever you tend to lose. If you lose your keys, you lose your wallet, you lose your remote. I can't help you with your mind, unfortunately, but it's small enough to fit on pretty much anything. And when you misplace an item that has a Tracker Pixel attached to it, you go to the Tracker app on your smartphone, which, Vic, come back to me because I've got the Tracker app right here on my iPhone. I'm pulling it up right now. This is the Tracker app. And I don't know if you can see that, but you can see that. There we go. I can't really see. Well, it's kind of washed out. But nonetheless, that is the Tracker app. And if I push the button here that says start searching, hold it up. Well, you can see it has LEDs and a very bright alert on it. And so it also comes up with a map. Now, if I lose my keys, let's say I've lost my phone. Tyler, push the button on the tracker. My phone is in silent mode right now. Got it? There it is.
Oh, it can do that?
Even though my phone is in silent mode, it still alerts, which is very, very cool. This is the neatest thing since sliced bread. So, and that's a 90 dB alert, and it has very bright little LEDs on that, too, so you can find it. So, like I said, you lose your phone, push the button on the tracker. Push it again, T. Lose your phone, push the button on the tracker, and your phone rings, even if it's in silent mode. And it even works miles away. Because Tracker uses crowd locating via Bluetooth. Tracker has a 30-day money-back guarantee, means you have nothing to lose. And also, mine is actually low on battery. And that's another cool thing is, if your Tracker runs low on battery, Tracker will give you lifetime batteries. You can order them straight from the app. I did that the other day.
I just found this out about
just
the whole
phone. It's pretty cool, isn't it, too?
I didn't know about the phone.
You didn't know about that?
No.
You haven't used yours that much yet,
because
have you?
Because my truck hasn't been working that much.
Well, that's true. But that's a whole different... That's not why you dialed in. Yeah, Tyler's truck isn't working, so it really has no use for phones. But nonetheless, when his truck starts working and he starts losing his keys, as he is...
On my phone.
As he will do. Or his phone, which he will do. Tracker will help him find it. In fact, we went out of town over the weekend, and when Tyler came home, his phone found the keys, my car keys, which were here at the house, and it alerted my phone. We were about 40 miles away, and it said that your keys have been found by crowd locating. And I said, well, Tyler must be home. Pretty amazing how this works. Go to thetracker.com/hamnation. Save 20% off any order. 30-day money-back guarantee. You truly have nothing to lose. That is thetracker.com/hamnation. 20% off. thetracker.com/hamnation. Tracker's a brand new sponsor. It's well worth your time and money to go take a look at. And you too can find whatever it is you're missing. Except your mind. We can't help you with your mind.
I'm
anyway.
So surprised about the phone.
You're surprised about the phone?
Because I didn't know. I thought I could only just find this.
He wakes up in a new world every day. Tracker, we thank you for your support of Ham Nation. Bob, over to you.
Oh boy, how much fun do we all have? Too much. Hey, talk about fun. I just have to share this with you. Look who is the newest user of a PR40. Can you see that? Can you tell who it is?
Oh, yeah.
It's Sheldon. Sheldon has a new show on Sirius Radio. Let me get this up here. We can see it. He has a new show on Sirius Radio. And Sirius has 250 PR40s tossed out their RE things. And so there you go. So Sheldon has joined the PR 40 group. I'm very happy because Sarah and I are big fans of Sheldon and everybody else. Well, I'm big fans of all you guys and gals that are using the soldering iron. Oh, my gosh. It's just crazy. I'm going to pick out just a couple. I got to read you this from Glenn Farr. Glenn is N4AK. He said he fired up his pine board today. Now, and this is in Sunset, South Carolina. And he was using a G5 RV on 75 meters. He worked 8 stations on 75. And that was in the afternoon. I just can't believe it. How well that worked for him. My goodness. Super duper. Good job, Glenn. So he's all happy. And here's another one from K3MIY. He was telling me about, and I never thought about this, building the pine board so you can see all the components and so on. It's really a cool deal because you can troubleshoot things so easy as you're actually watching just as the schematic lays it out. That's why I did it, because it's really simple. And Ron was talking about how he can take his VOM and chart things out and so on. The guy that might have helped start this all, OJ, who's on the he kind of runs the pine board net and our MOCAM net every morning on 75, of course, AM. He got on with his pine board. He has the original pine board. It's the one that we kind of copied that W0BVT built for him. And he was working KK4RF. So there was two pine boards working each other, one in Missouri. And I think KK4R, I think he's in Virginia. Now, think about this, 5 watts. So don't get too worried that, oh, it's only a couple of watts. Yeah, I'm telling you. Bill, he's incredible. N4DH, he's got all kinds of cool things. And here he is. He fired his up, and he's talking about working people on the air. And here's Brad, K4RT, working who? KK4RF on and on and on. It's just amazing, and I just am so thrilled that you're joining all this. I have to give you a little news because we've had a little trouble trying to find these guys, the 2.5 millihenry choke. Well, guess who came to the rescue? Well, I just didn't ask before. MFJ. All you have to do is call MFJ. Best probably to talk to Richard if you can, because some of it's, I don't think it's in their catalog yet, but might be, because we're going to be seeing a few of these, because it's hard. I don't know what happened, but the manufacturer, company called Hammond, nothing to do with organs, up in Canada, they quit building them. And we're like, what? Well, guess what? MFJ to the rescue. So I'm really happy about that. So I'm going to show you a couple of pictures here. And again, I'm really proud of everybody that's taken part in this project. And it's just amazing. And of course, thanks very much to the league for the QST cover and the article. That really, really helped get things rocking and rolling. This is a neat little project. Jim Hunter sent this in, and Jim said he fired it up and nothing happened. Filaments came up, but then he got a little smoke, and all of a sudden smoke turned into, hey, it's working. And one of the reasons is tuning. You want to get to the tuning capacitor as quick as possible and monitor the output on your, this is a MFJ QRP watt meter, and he had a dummy load in it. You want to tune that as fast as possible, because this is actually an oscillator, the final, all that. And so you don't want to leave it off resonance very long, or you might smoke one of the resistors a little bit, and he caught it in time. So that's a kind of a warning for everybody. When you first turn it on, make sure you have everything in resonance. Here is something very, very clever. I got this from Vince, KD8ULR. He got a new a new machine, I guess you could call it. He made pieces and parts of his pine board to mount everything on his 3D printer. How about that? Is that cool? And he's got several pieces that he made with the 3D printer. Here's another one, the equalizer. Isn't that, that's just too cool, isn't it? Very, very nice, Vince. Thanks for sharing that idea, and that idea is very, very interesting. So there you go. Just all these clever people that's coming up with cool things. This is the cleverest. N4AK. Glenn, he built the power supply, and it really nice job. I mean, some of you guys are doing beautiful work. I just threw mine together and never realized what it was going to, where it was going. I should have done it better. I should have had one of you guys build it. Look how beautiful that is. However, he wanted to use the rectifier, the bridge rectifier, because we get about, instead of a couple of watts, you get 5 watts, because instead of 200 or 2.5 B plus, you get about 3.5 to 400, but he wanted that vintage look. So what did he do? Listen up, everybody. Watch this. This is cool. You can't see it, but underneath the socket, he mounted his rectifier, his bridge. Is that cool? And the tube is not hooked up at all, except for the filament. So when it's all running, the tube is lit up. He's deriving his B-plus from the rectifier. Isn't that cool? Oh, man, you guys and gals are coming up with some great stuff. You're making me look bad. But I appreciate all of these. There's just a few. I mean, goodness, we had so many this last week or so. And another thing about, I was over, when was it, yesterday, I went over to Gateway Electronics and got some parts because I've been corresponding with Father Ortez, and he sent me his list that he needed of parts, and he needed a few things, and he couldn't find what he had on his junk box. So we went over and got to spend some time with Lisa. But one of the things that some people are having trouble finding was the bridge rectifier. Lisa's got tons of them. Gateway Electronics. And they have all kinds of other things that you can't find at AES in their kit. She's got it all. And we're talking about all kinds of terminal strips, either that kind or the screw kind, so on and so on. So I just wanted to give you a little heads up on some of those things, because there's a lot of different parts houses, and just search around on them. But Gateway Electronics, and thank you very much, MFJ, for saving our life, because some of us are really having trouble finding the 2.5 millihenries. Guess what? They got them. And call down to MFJ, Dr. Richard. He'll get you fixed up, I bet you. He's probably going to kill me for telling you to call him. But he's really the only one at this time. Once we get a part number, we can give that to you. So that's about all I have here. And I hope everybody's having fun with it. I know I'm just thrilled. I can't wait to get on in the morning at 9 o'clock and fire up the pine board. And, you know, you think, oh, it's only 5 watts. You just heard there's 2, 3, 4, one of them about 500 miles on 75 meters in the afternoon. So get in there and join everybody, because the fun is when you build it and you figure out what's happening and hook it up to good antenna, resonant antenna. That's very important that you do that. And enjoy the fun. And I know somebody that has fun with all of his projects, and that's George. George, how you doing, buddy? You doing okay?
Hi, Bob. Yeah, doing pretty good here, just trying to stay warm. And, it'd be a good time to try to knock out a few projects while it is cold right now, and you can't get outside and do anything. I've got a piece of coax here, and I had something I was going to talk about last week, but got sidetracked and talked about something else. So we're going to come back in just a moment and talk a little bit about coax and maybe some things that you didn't know before. But first, let's get a message from ICOM.
Happy New Year's from ICOM. Start the new year out with a bang with one of ICOM's new available products. Communications have never been so fun. The SDR you've asked for is here. ICOM's new 7610 is a high-performance RMDR with the ability to pick out the faintest signal, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF Direct Sampling System, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. ID31A Plus, a new D-Star communications device, is here. Easy to operate, the ID31A Plus is available in silver, red, or gold. Worldwide digital communications. Share pictures and text messages. IPX7 waterproof, compact, lightweight, and tough. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation and register to win some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. While you're there, learn how you can win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for January, that new radio is a compact and submersible ICOM ID31A Plus 5-watt UHF digital transceiver with built-in GPS micro SD card slot. Of course, it does analog and D-Star, and it's got automatic D-Star repeater list-up function built into it. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And, you know, Gordo showed us that little Zygu radio earlier there. I had one of those here in December. And, well, I didn't get to keep it. I'm hoping to get one back to do a little more playing with. I was working on something for MFJ, and I hooked it up. I got on the air one night, Bob, and I talked to our friends up in Kansas City and up in Nashville one night with 10 watts on 75 meters there. Didn't have any problems at all. Well, of course, they could have heard me better if I, you know, was running a 500 or a kilowatt, but they could hear me with 10 watts and said the little rig didn't sound bad. I was kind of impressed with it. I'm not going to throw away my IC7700 now. It's, it's not a replacement for your base rig, but for a portable little QRP rig, it's pretty nice, and I'm looking forward to playing with one of those again. Well, you know, I mentioned a little earlier we're going to talk about coax tonight, and I've got a piece here that's, well, this is not squirrel-proof, because I don't know if y'all remember back, but a couple of years ago, I was not able to be on the show one night because squirrels had chewed up the coax coming in to my shack here and had no internet. But this is a piece of RG6 here with the messenger cable attached to keep the pressure off of it. And, you know, a lot of this stuff now has both a foil shield and a wire shield on it, or a braid. I wanted to talk a little bit about coax because there's some characteristics to it that we should know about. Now, you know, we can do matching and various tricks to get more uses with different types of coax. First, let's just look at what it is. Coaxial cable is exactly that. It's coaxial. On the outside there, we've got a plastic jacket, generally. After that, you've got a metallic shield, and that can be foil. It can be copper braid, aluminum braid on some cheaper television coax. It could be foil, or, you know, it could actually be a solid copper pipe. Then you've got the dielectric insulator, and in some applications, not so much for ham radio, although we could certainly use it, that dielectric insulator there will be air. And there'll just be standoffs holding the center conductor in the center there. And, you know, you'll have to keep some kind of pressure in that line, nitrogen or dry air or something, to keep the moisture out. But most of the stuff we use has some type of plastic or Teflon, some type of dielectric insulator there. And then the center conductor, of course, can be either solid or stranded cable. All depends on the application. And what determines the impedance of this cable? Well, it's basically the spacing between that center conductor and that metallic shield. For a given size of shield there, you can vary the size of that center conductor, and that will change the impedance of the cable. The characteristic impedance is also affected by the dielectric insulator there. In 1929, Bell Laboratories did a series of experiments on coaxial cable, and they found some interesting things. First, the best coaxial cable impedances, they came up with a list of three there. For high power, 30 ohms works best. For high voltage, 60 ohm cable works best. And for the lowest attenuation, 77 ohms. So that's a little variance there. Generally, they decided that for minimum attenuation, that the cable should be 76.7 ohms. However, you know, we don't really see that. What we're likely to see is a compromise. The difference between, say, 30 ohms and 77 ohms, right there in the middle, falls around 50 ohms. And that's why we use 50 ohm cables. It's a compromise for power handling versus losses in the cable. We want to transfer the maximum amount of power from our transmitter into the antenna. Yet we also want to be able to receive off that same cable in two-way radio. So we're concerned about the loss that's in it for a receive signal as well, because that's a tiny signal. So for receive and low-level signal cables, most of the time you're going to find those are 75 ohms. That's what television antenna cable is of the coaxial variety. That's what most cable TV systems use, is 75 ohms. So 50 ohms was a compromise between power handling and attenuation. To work optimally, all the components in a coaxial system need to be the same impedance. They need to be matched. So if you've got a transmitter that's got a 50 ohm output, you're going to run it into a 50 ohm cable, and your antenna out on the end ought to be 50 ohms as well. If it's not, then you're going to have some reflections on your transmission line there, and you're going to have some losses. If the end of a coaxial cable is open, then it is going to act like there's infinite resistance at the end of it. If it's shorted, it's going to act like, you know, basically it's near 0 ohms on it. And you'll get reflections in either case. However, in the case of a shorted cable, those reflections are going to be exactly the opposite polarity as those of a open cable. Now, there are some cables out there, you know, we are generally always going to see either 50 ohms for our transmitting gear, our ham gear, or 75 ohms for television coax or satellite TV and such. You can use that 75 ohm cable with your ham gear if you make matching transformers and various types, put them on the ends there to match your gear to operate on 75 ohms. But as we learned right there, you know, that's not the best for power handling. However, there are people doing it and doing it successfully. So 50 ohms and 75 ohms are what we're used to running across, but would you believe there's a couple other impedances that are somewhat common out there? We don't see them that much, but they've been used in the past. RG62, that's a 93-ohm coaxial cable, which I actually found some in my radio studios here recently. It wasn't used anymore. It was just run through the ceilings and couldn't really figure out what it was for. Well, turns out that RG62 cable was pretty common with mainframe computer systems back in the 70s and the early 80s. And that's actually what it was there for. It made sense after, determine that. But that's 93-ohm coax, so I couldn't do anything with it. So it's still just running through the attic and unterminated on either ends. There's another impedance of cable that I was totally unaware of. That's RG63, and that's 125-ohm coax. Why would they need 125 ohms of impedance on that? I don't know. It's used in aerospace, so maybe some rocket scientist has a good reason for 125 ohms. I just don't happen to know what it is, though. So that's just some interesting facts about coaxial cable there. You know, there's some hams that really won't touch it. They only go with ladder line for their antenna connections, and there's good reasons for that as well, because the ladder line is basically, you know, two parallel conductors. That's a higher impedance, typically 300 ohms or 450 on up. That kind of cable is not going to suffer as much loss with impedance mismatches at the ends of it as we will have with coax. So that's one good reason to use ladder line. It's gives us a little more flexibility there without having as much loss in it. Coax, it's got its pluses too, though, because you can run it, you know, virtually everywhere. You don't have to worry about standing it off from metal or anything like that. Also, the shielding kind of helps keep out interfering signals. So, you know, coax is considered an unbalanced cable. A ladder line would be considered a balanced cable. So they both, you can't interchange one with the other without doing some special matching there, but it is possible. And we're going to always see coax on a VHF or UHF radios. Probably the majority of 6-meter installations, I would think, use coaxial cable. But you get down to the HF frequencies, it could be either one. You could be using coax or you could be using ladder line, just as long as you got proper matching on both ends of it there. So a little fun facts on coaxial cable there. We've covered this before, and perhaps we'll bring it up again in a little more detail, but just some interesting facts that I run across the last couple of weeks and just thought I would share them there. So now, as I'm accustomed to saying at this point in the show, it's time for the news. And who better to bring that to us than Plumber Don?
That's right. And if I were an electrician or an electronics expert, I too would be unbalanced. Why don't we go ahead and get into the news of the week, shall we, from Amateur Radio Newsline?
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2098, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, January 17th, 2018. The ARRL is facing some major public challenges from the U.S. amateur community regarding its actions, bylaws, and policies.
A group known as My ARRL Voice is advocating change in the league's lobbying efforts, governance procedures, and code of conduct through a steering committee comprising some of the league's own past vice directors, life members, and Maxim Society members. The group's website urges amateurs to press the league to take action at its January 19th board meeting to ensure more transparency. ARRL leadership has also been embattled in an escalating war of words with a vocal coalition in California over the league's code of conduct. The Northern California Contest Club, an ARRL affiliate, claimed the code stifled communications in league matters and prompted the controversial public censure of a division director in November. The league will not publicly discuss the specifics of the censure. However, its leadership continues to stand by the code as well as its more recent official actions. On January 6th, ARRL Hudson Division Director Mike Lysenko, N2YBB, addressed those issues in very general terms when he gave a keynote speech at Ham Radio University on Long Island, New York. Calling the censure a personnel matter not open to the public by the league, he nonetheless reaffirmed both the need for the code and the content of the code and supported the league's actions. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
With the start of the new year, two amateur radio organizations in Canada are cooperating more closely with one another on amateur education and a QSL bureau.
As of January 1, Radio Amateurs of Canada and RAQI in Quebec have agreed to share resources for bureaus. The RAC's outgoing QSL bureau is to become Canada's sole outgoing bureau for QSL cards. RAQI's outgoing bureau will now serve as a branch of the larger RAC bureau. The organizations said the move makes particularly good sense with fewer QSL cards being sent and with postal rates rising. RAC has also agreed to promote RAQI's online amateur radio course to those outside the province of Quebec. According to the RAC, this will provide an alternate form of instruction available to Canadians who are unable to receive instruction at their own local ham radio clubs. A portion of the registration fees paid by registrants outside Quebec will be given to the RAC. This agreement was worked out last year between the two organizations. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN.
Who doesn't love a good film in which amateur radio has a starring role?
Take a stranded Russian cosmonaut in a space station and add a Cuban amateur radio operator into the mix, and you've got a winning combination for a feature film. That's what the Cuban Amateur Radio Federation, the FRC, has to say about Sergio and Sergei. The film, directed by Ernesto Duranis, has been voted the most popular by moviegoers in Cuba. The fictional account of the men's friendship that develops while the cosmonaut is stranded during the Soviet collapse in 1991 is loosely based on actual contacts between amateur radio operators in Cuba and the Mir space station. The U.S.-Cuba collaboration, which also features Ron Perlman as an American journalist, was recently screened at the 39th International Festival of New Latin American Cinema in Havana. It made its premiere in September at the Toronto Film Festival. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
For the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 9930 and 5085 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Jerry Goodrich, KF5KRN, Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
Dr. T did not give us a video this week, but she did, however, provide us with some information, which I shall now pass along to you. She tells us that as far as the solar storm conditions and aurora outlook, a new coronal hole is crossing center disk and will enter the Earth's strike zone in about 3 days. NOAA, the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, is expecting minor storm conditions at high latitudes with a decent chance of a major storm over the weekend due to the incoming fast solar wind from the coronal hole. At mid-latitudes, expect active conditions, but minor storm levels could easily be reached multiple times over the weekend. The storm should begin waning by early next week. You can expect issues with ham radio, especially on the night side of the Earth during the storm. And switching over to the five-day solar flare and radiation storm outlook, solar flux just barely hanging on this week as a single weak active region struggles to pop through the sun's surface. Expect marginal conditions for amateur radio propagation to continue over the next few days at least. And if the region doesn't decay too quickly, marginal conditions might last through the end of the week. However, beginning next week at the latest, she says we'll dive back into poor conditions as we return to a spotless sun.
You really should follow her on Twitter and Periscope. Her handle is at Tamitha Scove. Very educational, very informative, and she tweets almost 24 hours a day. I don't know when the woman sleeps, but she's amazing, and we're fortunate to have her on our team. We love our Dr. T, that is for sure. So there's your solar outlook for the week, and now let's move over to Colorado and Amanda and see what's happening in the chat room. Hello, Amanda.
I have a lot of stuff. Let's go. Okay, first, can I talk about the tracker for just a second? Did you know, sure. Don? I bet you don't know if you don't have an Alexa. You can hook it to that, too. I'm not even kidding.
Can you really? I do have it. We have two. Yeah, we got them for Christmas. Oh. No kidding. You can attach it to your
account. I stop saying her name. I have to stop saying her name. So the thing that belongs to Google that's in the other, or not Google, Amazon in the other
Amazon,
room.
Yeah. Right.
She will find your phone for you. And,
really?
Or whatever you put your tracker on. So if you put it on your pet or something, you can tell her, whoever
that's
you are,
slick.
To please, please track my phone, and she will. And that's
cool.
We've used it several times. I'll give you guys a demonstration, or you find a way to give us a demonstration on that, Don. Okay,
I will.
So that's a cool thing. Jeff figured that out for us. Thank you, Jeff. All right, a couple things I wanted to talk about before I go to questions. This is kind of a cool thing. You guys are going to see more about it on Amateur Radio Newsline as well, but he's a friend of mine that helped put this bill together, so I wanted to talk about it quickly. We have Colorado Bill HB 18-1061, I believe is what it is. Basically, what it goes over, and any of you guys are scanners on the DTR systems in your states would appreciate this bill. Basically, it's trying to get Colorado government to not encrypt all of their channels all of the time. So you can actually still hear what's going on. You can hear those fire calls, those rescue calls. And I'd like to give Robert Wareham N0 ESQ some ESQ. He's a lawyer. He's helping put this bill together so that they can pass that. So when you need encryption, you go to encryption. But when you don't, you can still, the rest of us still have open channels to hear what our government is doing. So good luck there, Robert. Hope that passes. A couple other things. Rob Mikado from Eastern Massachusetts Assistant Section Emergency Coordinator helped activate for something like 16 to 18 hours on the Eastern Coast there for working on Skywarn reporting, and they worked their tails off getting all the snow reports in for everyone for the National Weather Service. So good job there. And we wanted to go over the Quartz Fest dates again, because I don't think Gordo's with us. Is that correct?
Yes. Starts this Saturday evening and goes all the way through a week from Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Gordo.
There it is. Thank you, Victor. That's it. So the official opening is going to be with kids. We love kids in La Paz Valley. The kids are coming together and then doing some tea hunting. We open up this Sunday at exactly 1,200 hours, maybe 1,300 hours. And then Quartz Fest is on its way for a full week.
It sounds like it's going to be a blast, as it always is for all of you there in Arizona. And then we have Winter Field Day coming up January 27th and 28th. Sometimes that's better for you guys down there in the South where you have some better weather. Maybe not this week. You should probably be happy it's not happening this weekend.
Not this weekend. Well, actually, the weekend won't be bad, but not tonight.
That's right. You know, in the summertime, it's horrible to go out when you're in the South and all the bugs and the humidity and everything else. So sometimes the Winter Field Day is better for you down there. Colorado, nope. I will sit in my ham shack and work some of you guys working Winter Field Day, but I am not setting up my battery-operated station to do that. Another thing, we have the Wheaton Community Radio Amateurs Ham Fest. That's happening in St. Charles, Illinois, and that's January 21st from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Let's give a big shout-out to Jerry, who just turned 74 years young today. He's in their chat room. That's W-8-R-Q-M. Happy birthday, Jerry. And you're as cute as you sound, I bet. But he says, I am not 74 years old. My birth certificate had it wrong. I am 74 years young. So, I know. Nice. Isn't that cute? Gordo, a couple more questions for you. Do you have a price point on the rig that Jim showed us tonight?
Talking to Richard at MFJ, probably in the 600s,
and that comes with MFJs no matter what warranty. So that's a neat thing about that radio. Well, you could probably get it for $5-something direct out of China. You're on your own, and you don't know you've got the latest hardware and software. But through MFJ, believe me, they're making it absolutely turnkey, and they'll stand behind it.
Perfect. And plus, warranties matter. All right, Jeff has something to show you, George. Bring it in here, Jeff.
Okay. Oh, wow.
How's this for some coax?
Yeah, Heliax.
This thing is huge. Yes, Heliax. Jeff uses that for a lot of his repeaters, so I thought I'd show that to you. What is that? 7/8 inch, not 1 inch.
7/8. Yep, I use it on the microwaves, STL dishes, all such as that. Matter of fact, that's what I use on my low power FM stations too. I've got some just like that though. That's 4 inches that I use on the 100 kW stations and on the 50 kilowatt AM.
And here's the connectors for those suckers. Look at that. Crazy. Yeah. How much do those cost, Jeff? Like $80. Ridiculous.
Wow.
This next question, George, one more for you. Where does someone learn how to begin to solder? Are there some help books out there? Or do you just have your own self-help center?
George would be the best one for soldering. And George, we got to see that video that you did about 4 years ago. But for me, there we go. So, George, what do you think the best way to learn how to solder?
Yeah, I don't use that for my surface mount work, Gordo. if you use the gun, you might be soldering too many connections at once. On that, but good for PL259s. What I would say is go back and search, and I ran it here on Ham Nation. I ran it on Amateur Logic as well. Really, it was more than 4 years ago when I made that video, but everything in it still stands up. I went through step by step on what you need to know to solder like a pro, and a lot of different tech tips there. And some examples. Hunt down that video. I don't know the episode number right off, or I would tell you, but it's both on Ham Nation and Amateur Logic. You can find it on either one. And if you watch that, you'll come away knowing how to solder. Now, there's lots of things that you can find online and books and such. But I suggest watching that video because you're going to see the solder actually flow. And we're going to talk about what makes a good connection and what makes a not so good connection.
I tell you something that you can do as well is MFJ, and I think some other people, their Vectronics line, they actually make, mm-hmm. I think, pretty sure, a solder practice kit that you can just solder a whole bunch of stuff together. Or if you go find a piece of junk electronics, not something that's full of surface mount stuff, but something that's maybe older. Maybe you have an old TV or something that's an old, like, small, portable tube type, tube TV that, is not digital. It's fairly useless unless you want to put it on amateur television. But a lot of those components are point-to-point, or not point-to-point, but discrete components where you can actually go in and practice your soldering and unsoldering on an actual circuit board. Look at you go, Gordon. Be careful. You're not wearing your shorts, are you? Are you wearing
your shorts? Know, the reason I absolutely agree, you got to use a little 25 watt iron for SMTs or even less than that. But for PL259s and some of the end connectors, you really got to get things hot quick so you don't melt the insulation. And hot quick means you see that. And if you see that coming off the end of your soldering gun, you're good for a PL259.
George, you're going to have to show that video of Jim again with the propane torch pulling stuff off that circuit board. That was just priceless.
Oh, yes. Jim, you know, and you got to be wearing shorts when you do that, Don. You don't want to be overdressed.
No. That and frying bacon. Yeah. Good idea.
That sounds like getting into a leather car with your shorts on. Nope. Not going to happen. Nope.
I agree.
Gordo, one more question because You are our VHF master. I have deemed you that. I don't know if you are or not, but you are. Rod, KI4QMC asks, are there really any benefits to stacking to 14 element Yagi beams for 2 meters? Or can you just do with one?
For the 2 meter band, certainly stacking will gain you, as they say, 3 dB. But in the real world, after you measure the loss with the stacking 75 ohm harnesses, you're about 2 dB. And for most VHF weak signal work, 1 or 2 dB, if the signal is there, you've got it. If it's not there, no dBs are going to help. For FM, I wouldn't even consider it. On FM, because it's wideband, another 2 or 3 dB just won't make much difference. So for weak signal work, make sure those beams are horizontal on single sideband and CW. And yep, a second one will sure help, but it's not like, oh my gosh, what a difference. It's going to be like 1.5 to 2 dB max, almost something you can't even hear.
All right, Rod, I hope that answers your question. And one final thing, Gordo, for taking the test at Quartz Fest, the test, what do they have to bring with them?
They need to bring good brain power. The technician class question pool does not change until next July 1st. And there are 60 new and 60 old questions on the new tech test. We'll be doing the original tech test all the way through June 30th. And if they're doing an upgrade, they need to bring a copy, not the original, although it wouldn't hurt to bring the original, a copy of their current license. And if they are going for a tech exam, if they have an FRN, that would be great ahead of time. But I'm assured that our examiners at Quartz Fest will be able to look it up on their computer and get them everything they need. So ID, probably about $15 for the test fee, and best success on taking the test out in the open air, and they'll do just fine.
All right. That answers everything tonight. Everyone's been great. Let's see. I'm going to go over some nets here. We have 14 Charlie for the D-Star net. Sounds like Don played around on D-Star today, playing hooky, that is. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, I was working. Too much snow for him. I worked from home. I wasn't playing hooky. I was here, but I was working.
Oh, I thought about putting out a video of how to scrape your windows for people down in Texas and Louisiana, but I was going to charge and, you know. Anyhow, so let's move on. We have the TAC 311 for DMRNet, and 40, I guess, is just down in the dumps tonight. So listen up. If you can hear someone on 7192, call out there, but they're not hopeful. And the 75-meter net was... I'm trying to look back in my notes here, and it keeps refreshing on me. Steve, if you can post that again here while I'm talking, I'll announce it. Next week, you guys, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to get some oral surgery. I'm getting a lump removed up here. It makes me look really ugly and a tooth removed, so I'm not going to be here next week. We really wanted Mel from DX Engineering to step in and maybe take over for the night, and she said no. So we're going to sad about that. Mel, I hope you join us sometime. We'd really look forward to having you be on Ham Nation, that's for sure. Yes, I'm totally chucking you under the bus right now, sister. We'd love to have you on the show.
Oh, my.
Come on, girl. You can do it. Wow. Come on the show with us. I think you'd have a fun time. Don would make it just a lovely experience for you, no matter what he says. I think you'd have a superb time here. And, of course, Val would be on here as well to make you feel at home. So I'm still not seeing me.
3908.
Thank you. That's what I've got, you guys. There you go. Who's wrapping this up tonight?
I don't know. Hey, I checked into Annette this morning while I was in between job. Yes, I was actually working because I have a production studio here and was remoting into my two computers at work. So I was actually doing radio production here, but I checked into the Air Force's Flyers net today on 20 meters at 10:30 this morning. That was a lot of fun. I did not know about that net, but a very, very, very cool bunch of people. And I love the Air Force and Navy and everything. So yeah, very cool. And again, don't forget the Hammond Ham Fest is this Saturday in Hammond, Louisiana, on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain, across from New Orleans. should be in the 50s or 60s. So no more rain or snow, or no snow or anything up there. So going to go up there and hang out with the folks up in Hammond. And again, happy birthday to my son, Tyler, the 18th birthday on the 20th. N7TMW is his call. So send him a QSL card or something. Tell him happy birthday. He's on QRZ.
Happy birthday, Tyler. You're the best. And your dad's so proud of you, too.
He is. He's the best. And I George, why don't you wrap it up tonight?
Okay. Well, on the solder video there, I just wanted to mention that was Amateur Logic Episode 9. I couldn't find the episode of Ham Nation that it was on right off, but just search for Amateur Logic Episode 9. You'll find How to Solder Like a Pro. Okay, before we get out of here, Gordo, any final words that doesn't involve any smoke or flames?
Roger, solder with a pro. We got it. We're ready. See you at Quartz Fest. I won't be here next week. Amanda, good luck.
Good luck, Amanda.
And we'll see you week after next.
Thanks, and Gordo.
Y'all ain't right.
Don, we can save Amanda a little money on that oral surgery, can't we?
Oh, yeah. I got a Swiss Army knife. I got a pair of pliers.
Wait a minute.
Look. We can look right down in there. Look at that. Just look right
sure
down in there.
There's not
boy.
Enough
we're,
Louisiana.
We're ready, Amanda. We are ready.
Oh, yeah. Agree to that.
And listen, if there's any bleeding
in the world,
if there's any bleeding, Gordon can cauterize that for you real good.
I've seen that.
We got it.
We're on it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It'll save me a ton in insurance bills, though. Trust me.
Hey, listen, I was an emergency medical technician. I've delivered a baby. I can sure as hell handle your tooth.
Oh, man. Chat room, I'm sorry. Help me out of this one. Come on. Tell me. Give me some excuses here.
Yeah, I'm sorry I got them started, Amanda.
Oh, it's totally your fault, George, too.
Yeah, I know.
Doesn't take much. Really?
All right.
It doesn't.
Good luck next week, and we'll look for you.
Thank you.
Following week. And Don said this coming weekend's the Ham and Ham Fest over in Louisiana. Well, the weekend after that, and I don't have the date right here in front of me, it's the Jackson Amateur Radio Club's Ham Fest.
Ah, 27th. I'll be
there. Yeah, 27th, 28th, I think.
Yep.
Will is going to be over from ICOM, and he's going to have some radios in tow there. And I'm going to look around. Don't have anything on my shopping list, but... Yeah, you know, it's hard to go to Hamfest and not come back with something. So I like to look at the junk tables. Particularly, I like to look under the tables, to find the stuff that nobody else wanted. Sometimes you'll find some good stuff down there. Thanks for being here this week, everybody. Look forward to seeing you again next week, right here at the same time, same station. 73 W5JDX.
73, everyone. Oh, don't even start.